everybody. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Wednesday, July 10th. We are rolling through the offseason, getting close to training camp. Still doing some rankings. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host of this daily CBS NFL podcast. Reminder that we will continue to do the podcast mailbags throughout the offseason. So if you want to have a question answered, leave a 5-star review and I promise we will answer it. Except for the guy who asked for social security numbers or anything inappropriate. We can't answer that. Someone asked us to MFK the various podcast members. So we'll figure out a way to do that with either bleeps or a safe for work game. But we will, if you want to send me a DM at Will Brinson on Twitter, or if you want to email me, willbrinson@gmail.com. Communication is open. I'm happy to answer any questions you have as well. If you want to ask me a fantasy keeper question, if you want to ask me the best kind of car seat to buy, whatever you want to ask me, I'm here for you. Here for us today to help break down the defensive backs, former NFL defensive back and 2-time Super Bowl champion, good friend of the show, Brian McFadden. What's up, B-Mac?
Hey, what's up, Will? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, as always, thanks for coming on. It's twice. Yes, sir. We were doing it weekly during the season, and then, you know, the off season throws things off, but now back-to-back weeks, feels good to get on the phone with you and talk about some defensive backs. Reminder, you can follow B-Mac at BMAC_sports talk. You're doing a bunch of good little social media videos with you're having a conversation with somebody about whether the Jaguars can make the playoffs. I like your current social media presence with these videos. It's very impressive.
No question. I enjoy being able to interact with the fans and, other, experts like yourself, being able to get quality conversations going on, because right now there's not a lot we can talk about when it comes to in-game action, because of course the season, it hasn't started yet, but getting prepared for the season, there's so many different conversations you can, throw out and generate quality insight, back and forth. So that's something I've been, enjoying being able to do.
And no doubt you edit the videos yourself, right? Is that, I'm just kidding.
I wish I couldn't
do that. If you threw me a video file, like edit this, I'd be like, no, I don't think so. You just have to kill me. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. I wish I was able to do it myself, but, unfortunately I'm like you, me and you, we're in the same boat.
Yeah. We're old, man. We're old. Hey, not a lot of news going around the NFL right now, as you mentioned. This is the slowest time of the season. It's actually kind of nice. We get to enjoy it. I do want to get your thought, though, on the one thing that kind of popped up on Monday and Tuesday, I guess, is that Rob Gronkowski spotted catching balls from Tom Brady. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you put into that, the idea that Gronk is working out with Brady and might actually consider a return?
No, scale to 1.
10 being 10 being a return and 1 being nothing's happening.
4.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I'll say 4. Right now, he's enjoying life. I mean, this is a guy that loves to have fun. He's enjoying life. No responsibilities when it comes to anything football related. Tom and Rob, they're great friends. We know that. So, of course, if Tom needed a guy to catch some passes to get, his work in and Rob was available, I really don't see Rob saying no.
Yeah, and let's not forget that, like, Gronk is, I mean, he's not like a godfather or anything, but he's like kind of close to Brady's family. So it's not like maybe they were just like, hey, do you want to come hang out? And they're like, hey, do you want to go throw some footballs? And then we'll tell people about it and people will make a big deal about it. It'll be hilarious. I could see that happening.
Exactly. But right now, I mean, he's enjoying the retired life. He has so many other things going on. But I did hear him say, based on him answering the question, will he return? He was like, tell them to holler at me during playoff time. Now, being able to go get a cheap ring, not being in the entire season, that might be something that's intriguing to Gronkowski.
The old Roger Clemens special, right? You only play half the season and try to chase a ring. That's not a bad idea. And he'd get paid too. He would get some, he would probably get some cash in his pocket. There's some defensive backs on our list. That's the best segue I can put up. So just for, full disclosure, pull back the curtain, whatnot. We have a list on CBSSports.com that is top 10 cornerbacks, and then we have a list that is top 10 safeties. But BMAC has put together his list. You put together your list of, top 10 defensive backs. And yes. So we'll sort of run through those and kind of blend them together. And then I'll probably just ask questions about various dudes who may or may not be on either list, but either way, we'll have a fun discussion about defensive backs. Reminder, rate, subscribe, review on iTunes as well. If you want to leave a 5-star review, that'd be great. I'm not going to complain if you want to leave a 1-star review. You want to be a jerk about it. People have been doing that. Some guy was like, this guy complains about 1-star reviews too much. It's like, who takes the time to leave a 1-star review? What's the matter with these people? Let's start with, your number 10 defensive back, BMAC. Who is at the bottom of this very distinguished list?
Like Will mentioned, you know, I combine corners and safeties, and there are so many talented defensive backs in the National Football League. It was very, very difficult getting 10, but based on how guys finished 2018, going into 2019, that's how I just, you know, kind of cropped them together. So my number 10 is a guy who's been doing it for quite some time, plays in the AFC West, Chris Harris. Only played 12 games last season because of injuries. 49 tackles, 3 interceptions, 10 PBUs. He only allowed, Will, 40 receptions on 64 targets for 365 yards and gave up only 1 touchdown. Now, when you think about Chris Harris, instantly you consider him to be one of the best slot corners in the game. But he's not he's no one-trick pony. I mean, looking at some of his numbers as far as reps, as far as plays, 747 snaps a year ago, 264 he lined up outside on the X wide receiver, you know, as a perimeter corner. So he has the ability to do a bit of everything, but no question, he earns a lot of his money in the slot. And now looking at how offenses are trending to be more pass heavy, your nickel corner has to be extremely good because it's not just about covering, but also tackling, playing with quality, contain, things like that. He's been doing it for quite some time.
Yeah, I've got Harris higher than that. But I mean, there's no doubt he belongs on the list. And I think when you look at what Denver has done this offseason, you know, they went out and, they had a coaching change, of course, with Vic Fangio, and they added Mike Munchak on the offensive line. You can see a path where, offensively, they get better with young receiving talent and guys improving. They added Dalton Reisner. They added Noah Fant. Joe Flacco, of course, they traded for. So, like, you can see a potential for the offense to be improved. I don't know that if they hadn't found more money for Chris Harris, BMAC, I don't know that the defense on the back end would be sufficient to take care of business. As it is, though, they got Harris, who they can now line out wide, and they brought in Bryce Callahan, who's a very nice slot corner out of Chicago. It seems like, that gives him some really nice versatility in that Fangio defense. Justin Simmons is coming along strong as a safety, and then they picked up Kareem Jackson as well to be their other corner on the outside. Von Miller, of course, Bradley Chubb, Derek Wolfe on the inside. It feels like Chris Harris might be the piece that could, you know, making sure you got him back might be the piece that takes this defense over the top if the Broncos want to get back to the playoffs. And you're right. I mean, I think, you know, given that he only played 12 games, you can push him down a little bit. He's got a real chance, I think, to push to be a top five option on this list next year. Just to backtrack for a second, was there anybody who you came close to putting on the list but just missed, maybe like an honorable mention type, whether it's a safety or a corner?
Yeah, for me, it was a multiple guys. They actually played for the same team. Ooh. Harrison Smith with the Minnesota Vikings and Xavier Rhodes. Two outstanding playmakers, especially Harrison Smith. They didn't really have the year that he had in 2017, dealt with a lot of injuries, so wasn't able to crack my top 10. But Harrison was very, very close to getting into my top 10. But as we go through this list, Will and listeners, there are a lot of names that are not considered household names that made my top 10 based on how well they played in 2018.
Ooh, I like it. And it's a good call on the Vikings. I think the fascinating thing about Minnesota, and I guess you would have seen this a little bit if I'm doing my math right, with maybe Mike Zimmer in Cincinnati when you were in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like his ability to coach up and train defensive backs is just floors me. Cause I mean, like, the Vikings keep dipping back into the pool to get like corner. Like, they got drafted Mike Hughes. Everybody's like, why are they drafting a corner? It's like, well, they develop corners really well and Mike Zimmer knows what he's doing. So it's not a bad idea. And you can see it with the way that Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith have developed. I think I was surprised at how low Harrison Smith was on my safety list. I had him actually number six, and you know, certainly could have been higher, but didn't have as great a season as he did. Rhodes I had on my seventh on my list of no, actually I had him sixth as well on my list of no seventh, sorry, on my list of cornerbacks. So yeah, I mean, I think both guys in probably in that same sort of range. Who was your number nine defensive back?
My number nine, man, a young player, had a heck of a rookie year. Mm-hmm. Some people were confused about why this team drafted him where they drafted him, but I think we all know why now. Denzel Ward.
Wow.
I mean, yes. Listen, at first I was like, huh, because, you know, I was that nine, between that 10, 9, 8 range, I was a bit in a flux about who should go where. But studying his tape and watching what he had to endure – first game of the season, he goes against Antonio Brown and Big Ben and came out two interceptions. Now, he gave a few plays here or there, but he made a lot of plays in the second half based on, you know, second half of the season. He only played in four games well because of injuries, but he only allowed 11 receptions on 22 targets for 106 yards, no touchdowns. He finished the season with three interceptions, 11 PBUs, ultimately became one of the best defenders on that defense from top to bottom. And he really saw a lot of action because we know anytime you have a rookie cornerback in the secondary starting, most opposing quarterbacks, they're going at that rookie corner. Trust me, I know. And he stood the test.
You know, it's fascinating. So like, you and I have like, we've hung out in person on multiple occasions, and you have seen that I am not a, I'm not a tall person, right? Like, there's a 0% chance that I've ever would have ever played in the NFL just based on genetics, alone, right? But like, and I'm not, I've interviewed Denzel Ward and I've sat down with him, and what stunned me is like, he is tiny. I mean, yeah, like, he's like my size and like even more slight of frame, but his ability as a ball hawk to go up there and just attack the ball is really impressive. I do worry a little bit about his injuries. I actually don't think he made my list for some reason. I'm not even sure why. And I that's probably a screw up because he did have a great rookie season, and to go out there as the number one guy, on that Browns team out of the box. And like you said, you know, your first 2 weeks are Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. And to play the way he did, especially when Bradley Chubb is out there balling out for the Broncos and making people wonder, you know, should the Browns have taken the pass rusher? I agree with you. Very impressive rookie season from him. And if he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the elite young corners. Who'd you have at number eight?
Number eight is potentially the Ed Reed of his era. Ooh. Safety, Eddie Jackson. Big right. Play Jackson, man. Man, I was a fan of his at Alabama. Granted, he's a Broward County kid, Fort Lauderdale to be exact. But watching him at Alabama with that number four on, he made plays. Remember, he had an injury. But getting drafted to Chicago was, I think, a blessing in disguise based on what he had surrounded him. But, I mean, 14 games a year ago, over 50 tackles, 15 PBUs. Those are corner numbers, Will. 15 PBUs, 6 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. I mean, this guy was a turnover machine. His ball instincts, they're so impressive. And the thing that I love about Eddie Jackson, it's not just about him getting his hands on footballs from opposing quarterbacks or runners or catchers, but once he gets the ball in his hands, he is trying to put points on the scoreboard. This defense was spectacular a year ago, and a lot of that had to do with how well Eddie Jackson performed in the back end.
You know, the fascinating thing about that, that Bears draft in 2017, and it goes down as a real feather in the cap of Ryan Pace, the GM, but they trade up to get Mitchell Trubisky, which was a highly controversial move, and people are still, you know, we're still figuring out what Mitch Trubisky is, but he's young. And then they basically drafted these tiny prospects, these prospects from tiny schools, like Adam Shaheen, the tight end in the second round, is from Ashland. Tariq Cohen in the fourth round is from NC A&T. Jordan Morgan from Cutstown, Pennsylvania. Everybody's heard of Cutstown, Pennsylvania. And then the one guy from the big school in the later rounds they took was Eddie Jackson, and he's coming off that broken leg. And man, what a BMAC, what a steal he has turned out to be.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
I mean, are you ever surprised to see guys fall in the draft like that with injury? I mean, I understand why they fall because of the injury, but it seems like silly in 2019 or 20, you know, in this era when medicals are so good, like the improvement of guys, like you almost never see a guy come into the NFL and just not recover. Like, I mean, Jalen Smith came back. Miles Jack came back. We've seen Eddie Jackson come back. It seems almost crazy to let a guy like Eddie Jackson fall to the third round as a result of that.
Oh, no question. And I think most importantly for Chicago, their ability to really study his tape coming out of Alabama, seeing how impactful he was. And the thing that I love about Eddie Jackson, he's not like a Earl Thomas, like as far as being extremely fast and explosive, but he is so smart. I mean, in 2 years of play, this kid has 21 PBUs. Like I said, those
That's
are
nuts.
Corner numbers.
Yeah. He has 8 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, 21 PBUs, 2 touchdown returns on fumbles, 3 touchdown returns on interceptions, 4 fumble recoveries, a sack. I mean, like his numbers are through the roof for a safety. He plays all over. It's insane.
It's insane, and he's a quality tackler. Like I said, he is the Ed Reed of his era, in my opinion. In 2 years, those are Ed Reed, like those are baby Ed Reed numbers. You know, Ed Reed set the bar so high,
yeah,
as far as his ability to create turnovers. But those are baby Ed Reed like numbers. But that's a compliment if you ask me, because you know I had Ed Reed is one of the best to ever do it. But for his era right now, in 2 years of play, when you look at the other peers as far as in his age bracket, Eddie Jackson is a grown man.
Yeah. And by the way, like Ed Reed. I mean, being a poor man's Ed Reed is not an insult. I mean, Ed Reed is a baller. I don't know if there's anybody cooler than Ed Reed either, even in like post-retirement. Like he's constantly walking around with a huge cigar. Like no matter where, he's like on TV with a cigar, like on the sidelines. I don't know. Ed Reed just always struck me as the coolest guy, on the planet. Who's your, and by the way, I had Eddie Jackson as my fourth overall safety, so we're probably on about the same page there. Who was your number 7 defensive back?
Wow, I mean, this player had a career-like year, a breakout year for some. But if you haven't really been paying attention to his game, since 2017, he's been balling. That's Xavien Howard, the highest-paid corner in the National Football League, deserving so, because what he did last year in only 12 ball games. I mean, this guy had 12 PBU, 7 interceptions. Only in 12 ball games. He basically played a college schedule as far as the amount of games and still dropped 7 interceptions, 12 PBUs. A very, very consistent corner, only allowed 29 receptions on 57 targets. That's a pretty good percent. Like I said, man, as of the last 2 years, he's totaled 25 PBUs, 11 interceptions.
That's big. That's big. Yeah. I think there's an argument to be made that Xavien Howard, and I had him, I think, as my 6 cornerback. So again, same kind of range. I think there's an argument to be made that he's the best player on Miami's roster.
No question. Like, I mean, argument. I think that's a stamp. T-shirts, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's not often that you talk about a third-year cornerback who's just clearly the best player on the roster. But I think you're right. Who did you have at number 6? And I don't disagree with that placement at all. But
well, my number 6 player is one of the best to do it right now. He is like the Darrell Revis of his era, but he is number 6 based on being absent in the beginning of the season. That's Patrick Peterson.
Oh.
You know, serving that 6-game suspension, he's going to miss a lot of time. Granted, if he was not suspended, he would be much higher on my list. But Patrick Peterson, I mean, what more can you say about a guy who's been so consistent? Every year since he's been drafted, he's made a Pro Bowl. He's been to a Pro Bowl.
Wow, that's true. I didn't realize that's
consistency at its best. Now, granted, he's going to have a tall hill to climb to try to continue to keep that streak going, because he will be suspended. But I don't knock Patrick Peterson. I believe he will find a way to get it done. He's an 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team All-Pro selection. I mean, 23 interceptions in his career, still playing at a high level. I mean, this guy has been so consistent, and the job that he has to do week in and week out, it does not matter who they're playing. who the receiver is. If it's Julio Jones, if it's AJ Green, if it's Odell Beckham Jr., it does not matter. Keenan Allen, guess what? He has to follow the opposing team's best wide receiver every week. You're talking about packing a full lunch. He has to pack a lunch, appetizer, dinner, and dessert anytime he's stepping on the football field because of what is asked of him. But yet and still, he stands up to the task and delivers week in and week out. But like I said, because of Pat being suspended the first six ball games, he is a lot lower on my list than what he would be if he wasn't suspended.
I left him off my cornerback list because of the suspension, not because of performance. Like you said, he's been to the Pro Bowl every single year of his career. Somehow only 28. He'll turn – oh, actually, tomorrow. Happy early birthday to Patrick Peterson. You gonna give him a call?
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna text him right now. Matter of fact,
it's not till Thursday. Just we're recording this on Tuesday, but people are listening on Wednesday.
Well, you know what? I might forget, so I need to text him now.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good call. I think the interesting thing about Patrick Peterson too is that, you know, there are all the trade rumors about whether or not he wanted out in Arizona. He's still very much in his prime. Last year was tough for him because Steve Wilks came in. And this is why the Steve Wilks hire never really made any sense to me, is that you have all this personnel to run, you know, press man and to put Patrick Peterson on an island against let him follow the team's best receiver around. And instead they bring in Steve Wilks, who likes to play that off man zone. And so Patrick Peterson wasn't really used correctly last year. And he's maybe stagnated a bit in terms of overall production, still had two interceptions. Passes defense went down to five, but a lot of that is just how much you get targeted as a cornerback. And I think, you know, what you saw was, I believe the numbers are like 40% man, 60% zone last year under Steve Wilks. Now Vance Joseph comes in as the new defensive coordinator. The Broncos ran like 60% man and 40% zone last year. So the expectation for Patrick Peterson should be much higher coming into 2019, even with the suspension, because I bet he'll come back motivated, want to prove people wrong, want to show that he is an elite cornerback, and he'll be well rested for the stretch run against some top receivers. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll break down BMAC's top five defensive backs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
All right, so you heard the list. It is Chris Harris, 10. Denzel Ward, 9. Eddie Jackson, 8. Xavien Howard, 7. Patrick Peterson, 6. No surprise, BMAC, that you're tilted a little bit towards cornerbacks. But I have no problem with that, because I think, just looking at my list, if I were splicing them together, I would have a lot more corners on there. It is interesting how, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but like over the past like 10 or 15 years, and maybe even 20 or 25 years, we've always had a guy who is the top corner in the league. Like, whether it was Richard Sherman or Revis, mm-hmm. or even dating back to Dion, there was always a guy who just felt like the number one corner. And I'd be curious to see how the top five of your list plays out, because I don't know if there's a clear cut guy who like, it felt like Jalen Ramsey was trending that way, and we'll probably get to him in a second, but there just hadn't been anybody who's really taken the hypothetical title belt of best corner. Are you surprised by that, and do you think it's because there's maybe it's even deeper at the position right now than it has been a few years?
I do believe it's deeper. You know, I said earlier in the show that, you know, there are a lot of guys on my top 10 that might not be that household like name, but they're starting to surface to be big time playmakers. So yeah, there's when you talk about just from the corner standpoint, you can have a top 10 list of your top 10 corners from 5-6 different people, and every list will look different because there are so many guys you can select on that and put on your list. And, you know, it could be an argument here or there, but at the end of the day, we can all understand why you have so and so on your list compared to me not going that direction. And I think it's good for the game, actually. You know, you got guys, like I said, Xavier Howard, you know, Denzel Ward, two young up and coming stars, that have really done some real good things along with some other guys in the National Football League that have been playing stellar football. You know, what's his name? I'm having a brain fart from Buffalo.
Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White. Yeah. Another young corner who's been playing lights out. Didn't make my top 10, but you can go throughout the National Football League and, you know, Byron Jones from the Cowboys, you know, so many young corners that have emerged to be consistent and big time players. I'm not surprised to see people say, well, you don't have an ideal top corner. I mean, I do in my opinion, I do, but for a lot of people who don't, I mean, there's so many quality guys you can select from.
Yeah, for sure. And I've got, I had Tre'Davious White, just for the record, as my number four corner, only his second year in Buffalo. I think that's a guy who could, take another leap forward. Who is your number five overall defensive back?
Oh, okay. Now you talked about me devoting a lot of attention to the corners and rightfully so. They're special, but this guy, he's special. He's not a corner. Jamal Adams.
Yes.
Jamal Adams reminds me so much of Troy Polamalu, a guy who I play with because he's so instinctive. He studies the game. He watches the game and he puts himself in positions to be successful. Over 80 tackles, 11 PBUs, one interception, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. I mean, he's Mr. Do It All for the Jets. And I like his ability to be around the line of scrimmage and be so, impactful in the run support element defensively for them. My only concern with Jamal Adams, Will, it's hard to really find something to pick at when it comes to his game, but the inability to get turnovers as far as interceptions. 2 years of play, he started every ball game since being drafted there in New York, only one interception. And that interception happened last year. So I'm looking for Jamal because he is that type of player. I'm not saying he needs to provide what Eddie Jackson has been providing with the 6 interception number and double-digit PBUs, because Eddie Jackson is the ideal free safety. Jamal, he's a little different. He plays around the box a lot more. He does more of the dirty work, but yet and still, he's a top-tier talent. I would love to see him create more interceptions, and I think he will, but it's just about how they're using him, and who knows, maybe Greg Williams will use him a little differently than what he's been used so far in his early career there in New York. But there's not a lot of negative things you can say or think about Jamal Adams.
No doubt. And the Jets will be interesting to watch too, because like you said, Greg Williams added, typically speaking, his defenses create a lot of turnovers and are really aggressive. So we'll see how that works out. And now with the addition of Quinnen Williams and CJ Mosley, and you add Jamal Adams in the back end, this Jets defense is stout up the middle. I mean,
no question.
And Leonard Williams already there. Of course, they have Henry Anderson as well, Avery Williamson at linebacker, and Marcus May, another, those are really, Marcus May, the only good non-first round pick ever made by Mike Maccagnan. So congratulations for that. I have no qualms with Jamal Adams here. He was my number two, safety on the list. Who you got at number four, B-Mac?
Now number five and number four, it was a toss up for me, but I'm going Derwin James.
Yes, sir.
Derwin James is a grown man. A heck of an intro into the National Football League. First team All Pro, 70 plus tackles, 3.5 sacks, 13 PBUs, 3 interceptions. And that was a deciding factor for me having Derwin number four over Jamal. Look at the PBUs. Look at the interceptions. They kind of used Derwin similar to how the Jets use Jamal in New York. But Derwin was able to really do a lot as far as getting his hands on footballs, creating interceptions, not to mention a tackling machine, also playing in the backfield. 3.5 sacks. Now, Jamal had 3.5 sacks also, but the number when it comes to PBUs and interceptions was the deciding factor for me in having Derwin ahead of Jamal.
No, I got no problem with that. I had Derwin as my number one safety. When you look at his stats, B-Mac, I said this at the time, so I don't mind saying it now. It is effing insane that he fell to number 17 overall.
Oh my goodness.
In the draft. I always liked Minka Fitzpatrick coming out of Alabama, and I have no problem with the Dolphins taking him. If they like Minka better than Derwin, that's fine. But in my mind, when you looked at this draft class, outside of the quarterbacks, it was Saquon, Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, and I had Derwin as really my fourth blue chipper, and Roquan Smith. Those are my five blue chip guys. Roquan, Quentin, Chubb, Derwin, and look, Denzel Ward ended up being great. I got no problem with that. I just can't believe that all those teams, and the Buccaneers and the Redskins took back-to-back nose tackles. And Vita Vea and Deron Payne are good players, but Derwin James is a prototypical safety for the modern NFL. And he's a first team all pro in his first year. Wait, who ended up winning? Darius Leonard, also all pro, won defensive rookie of the year. I would have had no problem if they'd given it to Derwin James. And I have no problem with you putting him as the number four DB. Can't wait to see him grow and fits a perfect fit in that Gus Bradley scheme. Who do you have at number three?
A big time year for a big time player who plays for a big time team. Stephon Gilmore. Ooh. My goodness. 20 PBUs. Wow. I mean, some guys need 2 years to get at least 20 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and Gilmore really showed up big time, a under the radar like corner, because of course he's not a flashy guy. And when you think about the Patriots defensive unit, you don't think about just one guy. You think about in totality, in all 3 levels, guys doing what they're supposed to do, being disciplined. But he was one of the best players, not just on that defense, but on that team last year. And then let's transition to the postseason play for Gilmore. In 3 games in the postseason, will 5 PBUs, 2 critical interceptions. I mean, Gilmore lived up to the billing. I know some people were confused about why the Patriots gave him the money they gave him a few years ago when he was a free agent, but now we're starting to see why. We knew he had talent. He just was a bit inconsistent. The mental game, he has really embraced the mental game. Learning from Bill Belichick has done wonders for Gilmore. I have him number 3 on my list based on what he did last year. Stellar play, big time player, but another year working with Bill Belichick will do wonders for him in 2019.
Yeah, if you a couple points on Gilmore, and I agree. I actually had him as my number one corner, and I think there's a chance he takes the mantle for best corner in the league in this coming season. It's so like ProFootballReference.com, which is the pretty standard for in terms of like NFL writers looking up stats. They do a stat called approximate value, which is basically trying to measure a player's season in a numerical form. And it's not always perfect, but I think this is notable when you look at Stephon Gilmore. He has played now 7 seasons in the NFL. Here is his approximate value starting with his rookie year and into last year. 5, 4, 6, 5, 8, 5, 14. I mean, that is and look, all those numbers, anything 5 or higher is pretty good. I mean, he was a good corner for many years as a young player, and people were mad. Patriots fans were mad in 2017 when that defense didn't look great, that they'd spent all that money on Gilmore. Well, you know what, B-Mac? You know this, and I think I know this, and more people should know it. Playing cornerback is hard. And it takes a little time to learn the system. And 2 years, as you point out, into learning from Bill Belichick, he took a massive leap forward at the age of 28. And I don't think it's improbable that he could continue that growth and maybe become the best corner in football. One more thing on it. I think it's nothing is more hilarious than the idea that this guy was drafted in the first round, and then later coached by Rex Ryan. First by Chan Gailey, but then eventually coached by Rex Ryan, and then Bill Belichick steals him in free agency and turns him into maybe one of the best corners in football after Rex Ryan, after Rex Ryan was unable to do it. So I find that hilarious, and I think your ranking of Gilmore is spot on. Who do you have at number 2?
Wow. Well, this is the second player from this elite defense to make my top 10 list.
Ooh.
Kyle Fuller.
Oh, wow. All right.
The Bears fans have been waiting for Kyle to be healthy first and foremost, to be healthy. He was finally healthy. The last two seasons, well, let's, okay. This past year, Kyle Fuller's numbers. Now, are you ready for this, listeners?
Sure.
Will, I'm a corner, and when I saw these numbers, see, I watched him play, but sometimes when you go back and you look at the numbers, then you're like, wow. It's that wow factor outside of what your eyes have seen. 7 interceptions. 21 PBUs.
Both led the NFL.
Yes, and Gilmore just had 20, and that was so impressive. But Fuller topped Gilmore with one more PBU, but came in with 7 interceptions. And you talk about why this Bears defense was so good. I mean, 7 from from Fuller, and then go back down to my list, the number 8th player, Eddie Jackson, had 6. Eddie Jackson had also 15 PBUs, and then Fuller had 21 PBUs. I'm not too good at math, but that's what, 36 PBUs from 2 players in the same secondary, along with what, 14 interceptions?
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad.
Wow.
Hey, let me ask you,
I'm sorry, 13 interceptions. Yeah, 7 and 6, that's 13.
Yeah, that's fine. We're not math majors here. We're, no, but I think on Fuller, it's easy to forget that last year that he was a restricted free agent. The Packers made him an offer sheet and the Bears matched it immediately. That looks pretty smart. $56 million over 4 years with $18 million in guarantees. What's your level? And by the way, I also want to point out that last year on this podcast, you and I were doing defenses who could make the leap, and you picked the Chicago Bears to potentially become the number one defense. I think that was even before the Khalil Mack trade.
That was, we were talking about Roquan Smith adding to what they already had. And you know what, Will? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was talking to some of my homeboys and close friends, football mind guys just like myself, and I was like, listen, I said the Bears defense was going to be legit, and they were like, what? It's easy to say that after they traded for Khalil Mack. I say, no, I said that before the addition of Khalil Mack. Oh, no, you didn't, Mack. You're just trying to get credit for something that you haven't done and you didn't say. I say, yes, I said I did. I said, what people didn't realize, well, 2017, that defense was a top 10 defense, right?
Yeah.
With young, talented players. I felt another year under Vic Fangio's system, along with another year of experience with a few new pieces here or there, and I love Roquan Smith. I felt like, and I'm glad you're throwing that out for people to hear, because a lot of people are saying I'm making things up. But going back to Kyle Fuller, listeners, and you, that was a big time point you made about the Bears matching the Packers' offer. In 2017, you want to know what he did in 2017? 22 PBUs and 2 interceptions. So in a matter of 2 years, this guy, as far as PBUs, 43 PBUs in 2 years of play, 9 interceptions in the last 2 seasons. Talk about big play ability. Talk about being consistent. Mr. Fuller has been that.
If you hear a ding ding on BMAC's phone, it's because I just texted you the link where you say, and like, I don't think people understand, this is in like late June. So, yes. I mean, this is like, it was actually published on my birthday. Happy birthday 2 years ago to me, but like, you can send this to your friends. And we'll probably do this episode again, maybe later on in the off season, but you basically said, this is a team that can be a number one defense this year. That was the goal of the podcast. Like, who could be a sleeper for the number one defense? And you nailed it with the Chicago Bears. So good call on that. Do you think they can repeat it? Cause they have the talent there. I mean, we're talking about all these guys. They lost, Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan. Those are concerns. Added HaHa Clinton Dix. But my big concern, BMAC, is that they lost, Vic Fangio. How big a factor do you think that plays into it?
It would be a factor, but not a big factor, because the individual they replaced him with in Chuck Pagano is a defensive-minded coach who's been around for quite some time. And I'm willing to bet he will continue to do some of the same things that Vic did because they worked so well. So you have to look at when you're replacing talented corner. I mean, coordinators have done a phenomenal job. You don't want to change the menu. It's almost like a heralded chef leaving for a better opportunity, and now you're replacing that chef that had an ideal menu. You want to keep some of the same things on the menu that people love to order. So you might want to add a new dish here or there, but for the most part, the guts of the menu will still be in place because clearly that's what people want to eat. And I expect to see the same thing because, listen, it's not broke. So for Chuck, you don't need to fix anything. Just add a few nuances here or there, but yet and still keep things in place based on what Vic did. And you might want to change the name, the verbiage, you know, some of the checks and things like that. But for the most part, I don't expect to see a lot of change when it comes to play calling and when it comes to production, because most importantly, the personnel is there and they still have a quality experienced play caller in place with Chuck Pagano.
Well, you know who actually agrees with you is Vic Fangio, who said at the combine, he'll do fine. The players haven't changed. The players are the most important thing. Chuck will do fine with those guys. There will be some carryover as there are from a lot of systems. I don't think they'll have any problems. All right, B-Mac. Drum roll. That was a terrible drum roll, but just tell us who your number one defensive back is.
Jalen Ramsey.
I'd already written it down when I was writing down your top list. I assumed as much, even after a slightly down 2018 for him.
I mean, slightly down 2018, 3 interceptions, 13 PBUs, dynamic player. We know about his coverage ability. I mean, 20. But 17 all pro, 9 interceptions.
Four interceptions.
Yeah. So far he has 9 in his total career, a total of 44 PBUs in his total career, his first 3 years, to be exact. But we know about his coverage ability. He has that same DNA that I talked about with Patrick Peterson. Anytime he's playing against the likes of DeAndre Hopkins, T.Y. Hilton, OBJ, whoever it is, guess what? Number 20 is following them. AJ Green, Keenan Allen, Tariq Hill, he is following that opposing team's best wide receiver, and he stands up. He talks a good game. He plays a good game. He's one of the best defenders in the National Football League. And yeah, I understand guys like Kyle Fuller, Stephon Gilmore, you know, had better numbers, but they're ranked below Derwin. And I feel like if I needed to pick a corner for my defense, not knowing what the rest of my defense will look like, if you ask me that question, Will, out of all the corners that are available, my pick probably would be Derwin James based on what he's done his first 3 years, especially the last 2 years in the National Football League.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Jalen Ramsey. He is.
That's fine.
Derwin might be the second choice if you're starting a team. I agree with you. I think if somebody says you have to pick a defensive back, if somebody says you have to pick a corner to start a team, like your first pick has to be a cornerback, and you get one cornerback, Ramsey's the guy. I mean, he's not even 25 yet. First round pick with a pedigree out of FSU. So we know that it's not like this guy stormed out of nowhere. He's made the Pro Bowl twice. He was an All Pro in 2017. And I think the thing that sort of gets lost here, BMAC, is that his 2018 wasn't bad. It's just that his 2017 was so incredible. And then he followed it up by running his mouth all offseason about every single quarterback in the NFL. And then the Jaguars were terrible last year. So like if the Jaguars had been a 10-5 or 10-6, and just made the playoffs as a wild card or even won the division, and Ramsey had that kind of year, I don't think there's the same sort of blowback as there was because the Jaguars were just that bad. And he's made it clear this offseason, he's going out, he's going to be quiet. He doesn't want to talk smack about quarterbacks. He wants to go about his business. And it seems like a guy who has also been told he won't be paid this offseason, which means that I would anticipate that Jalen Ramsey has a monster year because he's playing for a contract. He's playing for pride. He was already playing at a high level. He's never been bad in the first place. And the Jaguars should be better because they've taken care of some locker room issues and they've improved the quarterback position. So I'm with you. I think I had Ramsey at 3, but I mean, it was, you know, nitpicking just based on last year. And I would probably, if I had to do it again, I would probably move him up to 2. Maybe 1A with Stephon Gilmore. Look, again, you talk about approximate value, 8 his rookie year, 14 in 2017, and then 10, last year. No problems whatsoever with you putting Jalen Ramsey 1. I think BMAC, it might look very smart, in a few months. Anything else you want to throw out there?
No. And, you know, you hit on, you know, some key points about Jalen. That's a great year for most corners, but
yeah,
based on what he did the year before, it was a drop off. But I think coming into this year, he, with Jalen being more focused, and this played a lot with him, with Jalen being number one, I think this Jacksonville defense, even though they were a bad team when it came to their record, their defense still played real good football. Their offense put them in a lot of difficult situations, but they still stood up. Now having Nick Foles, a more consistent quarterback than what they have been used to, I believe that would help the defense out, not to mention that would help Jalen out as well.
No doubt about it. All right, at @BMAC_SportsTalk, watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Follow him on Twitter, and we will talk again soon, my man. It's always fun.
Yes, sir.